and their family. We're going to get down here to preaching in a minute, but I want to say so glad to be here. And I'll tell you, this is a good way right here. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm in it. Ever since I got saved, I don't know if everybody is like this or not, because I haven't been anybody but me. And so I don't know. But when I got saved, I knew right off that I'd made a real deal. Are y'all that way? I mean, the devil, he's tried to talk me out of it. He don't talk long, because he ain't going to get nowhere with it. Because I know I got a good deal. Amen. When the Lord saved me from my old filthy sins, took all that meanness out of me, praise God, I didn't want it back. Praise God. Saved my soul from hell. Praise God. And I'm glad of it. I'm glad to be with y'all. And I'm not Brother Sutherland. I'm not going to mention him much, because I don't want your mind to wandering about what if he'd have been here. He ain't here. Hallelujah. It's me. Praise God. And I don't know how hard I preach. I'm not going to turn into Brother Benny. Hallelujah. And that's the last time I'm going to mention his name. Hallelujah. Because I don't want you to get to wondering. We've got some preachers here. These preachers here, Brother Prescott. And I know a prophet is not without honor. Jesus said it. Except in his own, how was it he said it? In his own house or his own town or his own church or whatever. But, you know, you get used to folks. And even wonderful folks, you just get used to them. And you just don't realize just what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. How many more times I need to say? Is that enough right there? I know he's eating this preacher up over here. Amen. But I'm serious. You just get used to folks. But I'll tell you, you've got a great preacher and his family, and he can preach. He's a preaching man. And Brother Savage, old Paul and Maul Savage, that's my Paul and Maul right there. Boy, to see them come in, I see them come through the door, even though I knew they'd come thinking Brother Benny was going to be here. I was still tickled to see them. Praise God. Amen. Great, great people. I've known them. Now, you probably won't even think I'm hardly this old, but I've known them for 30 years. Praise God. Amen. And preached with them and shouted with them and cried and all that. And we're so glad they're here. Now, y'all are quiet, most of you. But that's okay. You know, I don't mind quiet as long as it's a spiritual quiet. When it gets to be a non-spiritual quiet, I'd rather you do something. Praise God. But I hope I can get anointed enough to keep you awake. Praise God. And get something to you. I mean, we're not wasting our time up here. The Lord is coming, whether you believe it or not, whether you're ready or not, he's coming. And I'll tell you what, I want to be ready when he comes. Just a title and, you know, just being in the church house when he comes ain't necessarily going to help us. I want him right here in my heart. Amen. I'd like to have meeting here. Amen. And just get shook loose. And I'll try to obey the Lord and be led of the Spirit. I've never figured this out, how to preach. I've even interviewed some great preachers. I remember asking Brother Savage. He won't remember, but just because he don't remember it don't mean anything. So, but I asked him. I'd go to meetings with him, and he'd just get up, you know, and have it all together. And I'd go sometimes not even knowing. I preached with a brother one time, and he got up in his first service and told us everything he was going to preach all week. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I just never done that. And I wish I could do that. But he told us everything he's going to preach. And there I sat, not knowing what I was going to say in the next 30 minutes when they called on me. And I thought, this ain't normal. And so I got with some great preachers. I asked Brother Savage. I said, do you have everything lined out when you get to a meeting, what you're going to do? And I was so glad when he said, nope. I was so glad. I know he has a lot more. Y'all ain't going to rush me, are you? Y'all just look like you're going to rush me, huh? And I tell you, when I get in a hurry, I end up in a ditch a lot of times. So I hope y'all don't rush me. Now, brother, if my brother hasn't warned y'all about me, then that's his fault. He should have let y'all know that I'm a little odd. But I'll tell you, I'd like to just take my time here and preach to you. And I'll tell you what I like, and I don't mean to, but you might as well get right down to the heart of it right now. I'd like to get y'all up before this meeting's over. And in. Is that all right? I like to get you up and in. Amen. Some way before this is over. Now you figure out what that means. Praise God. I'm going to try to preach around. I like to get you up and in before we get done. Amen. That's all right. Now listen to me now. I'm not running nobody out. If you just come to ride, that's all right. I just hope we can get it fast enough that you have to hold on. Huh? That's right. If you just come to ride along, hobo-like, I just hope we get the speed built up so much that it just messes you higher up and you go home and say, oh, I wasn't counting on this, but I sure went somewhere tonight. Hallelujah. I'd like to go somewhere in this meeting. I'm not charismatic. I want y'all to know that, right? Whatever that is. I know it ain't good because everybody preaches on it. But I ain't one of them. I don't believe in conjuring stuff up. Lord, no. And I love these good old songs. Now, down in the mountains, we sing everything as fast as we can. That's just the way. I don't care if it's Amazing Grace or I'll Fly Away or the old Rugged Cross. It's as fast as it can go in the key of G usually. That's right. Now, everybody don't have to do that. I know that. But you know, that's just the way we do it. You know, you don't all have to do the same way to do it, do you? Huh? Come on now, do you? But I tell you what we have to do. We've got to worship God. Praise God. Matter of fact, and I'm going to read a text here in a minute, but matter of fact, hey, man, the Bible said, come into his gates with thanksgiving. And you know, in the Old Testament, I don't know, could you come to the temple without a sacrifice of some kind? Huh? And you couldn't come empty-handed. Even if you were poor, have a few, I'm too poor. Well, even the poor could come in and buy a little something cheap. Amen. Something to offer. Something that all they had. Amen. You couldn't come into the house of God. They'd stand out. You come empty-handed. I just couldn't see what was going on. Oh, no. Amen. Well, I just come to see my girlfriend. Not here you didn't, buddy. Huh? Now, come on. Don't get quiet on me now. I went to church one time to see a girl. And I tell you, I was a sinner. And when that conviction started rolling, she started looking mighty bad to me. I'll tell you that right now. That's the last time I ever went to church to court. I said, I ain't going through that just to see a girl. That was the last time. Amen. I did that. I got out of there. Amen. As a matter of fact, that was the only time I could ever remember being in church till I got saved. Praise God. Amen. But I want to tell you, I like to see the Holy Ghost falling here. Sister's talking about getting out of the street into the upper room. Praise God. Woo! I tell you, and I looked the crowd over while they were singing about the Holy Ghost, and I looked at the folks participating, and I thought, wonder how they act or how they feel when they get the Holy Ghost just falls on them and saturates them. Y'all believe in that? Praise God. I just like to see how you react. I've seen some of you. You don't come much without seeing Sister here. You know how she'll do. Amen, sir. I don't know why she puts all them hairdos in her. She just flings them every which way. Oh, I'd like to see that tonight. Just see them get shook loose here. Amen. I better read my text here. Amen. But I'm sure not going to try to do some kind of conjuring up. Amen. To get you happy. Amen. But I'll tell you, if I can point out Jesus Christ, amen, to you, like I know him. Amen, brother. He's still sweet, I know. How about you? Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go to the Psalm and to the First Kings, and I don't know exactly how this will go. Never do. Brother asked me if I was ready to preach, and in one way I was, but I don't know if I'm going to or not. You never know. Amen. But I want to preach to us something tonight and trust the Lord to inspire me. Amen. To be able to help you. I love you. Praise God. Some of the greatest people in the world. Amen. Right here in this church house. And I want to help you before I get done. Whatever little part I'm going to do. Look at Psalm 33. I'm going to read Psalm 37, 33, and 37. Those two chapters. Verse 19 in both of them, I believe it is. And then my text, my general place to preach is in 1 Kings, I believe it is, chapter 17. And I'll get something out of here if I can. I want you to help me. Y'all say amen everywhere you think it fits right, okay? If you ever do, say it right where you think it might help the most. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Verse 19 of the 33rd chapter. Let's look at verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Is anybody here like that tonight? How many is here like that? How many is here like that tonight? His eye is upon them to deliver their soul from death. And here's where I want to look. And to keep them alive in famine. To keep them alive in famine. Now look at Psalm 37. And I think it's verse 18 and 19 again. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Whoo, sweet Lamb of God. Amen. Who are these folks? Those that are upright. Those that fear the Lord. Those that are hoping in his mercy. Amen. They shall be kept alive. Woo, brother. It's just, you know, it's just the day we live. Oh, I know. I know about the day. I know. But God said, I'm going to keep them alive in famine. And then he said, I'm going to keep them not only alive, but satisfied. Praise God. Now, over in 1 Kings, we have a lesson. I know you're standing here, and I'm going to preach the whole chapter. So I doubt if you want to stand the whole chapter. But I'm going to preach on every verse if I can, most of them. And I know you're going to think it's forever, but it won't be. It'll just be probably 40 minutes. Hallelujah. But I want you to look right here. Stand with me just a minute. I'll pick out a verse or two, and then I'll go back, and I'll just try to wring everything I can out of them. But look at this. The Bible said, the word of the Lord came unto me, him saying, verse 2, get thee hence. Oh, wait a minute. I missed something here. Let's go back. I just want to not read all that much. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, this is what Elijah prophesied. He said, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now, God's telling this man of God here that just said it's not going to rain. Now, how many of us got enough sense to know that if it don't rain, then things are going to get pretty dry? Now he prophesied, the man of God, and if the man of God, through the inspiration of God, says it's not going to rain, then you might as well forget it. It's not going to rain. He prophesied it wasn't going to rain. With no rain comes a drought. And with the drought comes a famine. And so it's prophetic. And it's been fulfilled right before. But, he said, in the midst of this famine, he said, I'm going to keep you alive. That's what I read over here. Y'all with me now? Hallelujah. Woo, y'all ain't feeling what I'm feeling yet, are you? If I can feel more of it, you can feel some of it, I believe, here in a minute. But the famine came, and he said, I want you to go down to this brook Cherith. Now, a lot of people think any old brook will do, but that's not what he said. He said, I want you to go down to the brook Cherith, and I'm going to take care of you right there. How many knows he did it? Now, I've not got to my text yet. I may never, but I'm going to work toward it, all right? Here's what he said. He went down to the brook Cherith. You read it right here for yourself, and I've got to hurry on, but I'm going to back up. But he said, go down there and I'll feed you there. He stayed at Cherith for a good spell. It don't really say how long. But he stayed there, and the birds, the ravens, brought meat in the morning and the evening. Is that what it says? Am I right? Bread and flesh. Is that what it says? How does it say that? And he drank by the brook. Woo, sweet Lamb of God. You say, well, I just don't like that stuff. Well, then you're going to be in trouble. But I'll tell you, God has promised to feed you. Oh, I feel this in here. I feel I've got the message here tonight. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. It might get dry, amen, because of the famine. We've all prophesied it. In the last days, perilous times would come. Men would be lovers of them on self, more than lovers of God, lovers of pleasure, more than love. We see all that coming to pass. Some of the most filthy, wicked, evil, amen. People don't hardly want to go to church, and when they go to church, they want to get their beauty rest. Praise God, because I guess, I don't know, praise God. But I want to tell you, amen, even though, amen, we're in that wicked hour, amen, God has promised to keep us alive. Can you say amen? I'm going to preach tonight, and I haven't even gotten my text, but it's wearing me. You're standing up. I'm afraid you're going to get tired on me. Amen. But now look at this. I'll do. I'll just sit down if you'll pray for me right now. Ask God to help me. Amen. Ask God to help me. Woo! Feel like preaching a little bit here. Hallelujah. God anoint me right now. I feel like I'm in the right place. I feel like you've given me the message. This might be the only one I preach all week, but I feel like you need to turn me in on it right now. Woo! Help me preach this little sermon you give me, God, as pitiful as I am. God, anoint me and make me what you need me for this next hour, Lord. Amen. Let me just be your man in Jesus' name. Praise God. I want to preach to you tonight on faith in the famine. Praise God. That's my title. If I'm going to title this for the sake of whatever. Amen. Faith in the famine. Faith for the famine. Amen. I want you to notice what happened right here. Amen. The Bible said, now, life, amen, the older you get, you realize some characteristics about life that you didn't understand about life early on. I remember when I was a little boy growing up, and I thought, just as a little kid, I thought my mama would ask me, are you happy? I was just a little boy, 6, 7 years old, and she'd ask me, are you happy? I didn't realize then that there was things in my life that she realized might make me unhappy. I was a little kid and didn't even understand what she was talking about. The dysfunction in my home, the family problem that I didn't even realize was there. Amen. The fact that we were poor and lived back on a country old rock farm. Amen. And that I didn't really get to have the thing that other kids had. I didn't even realize that. Amen. No tricycle and no bicycle and not go to town and not have the clothes. And mama was worried about it. I didn't know. After I was raised on that farm and run those rail fences and fished in them creeks. Amen. And I thought I had it made. Amen. I didn't know no better. Amen. And I remember my grandpa, and I was about 6 years old, and I love my grandpa. He's a preacher, Church of God preacher. His name was Pharaoh. Well, I never heard in the whole world named Pharaoh, but the one in Egypt is my grandpa. His name was Pharaoh Bailey. He was a Church of God preacher. He signed his name P.H. I think that's a wise thing. What do you think? Praise God. But he is an old Church of God preacher. I didn't know he was a preacher. I mean, in the essence, you know what I'm saying. All I know about my grandpa was he was a sweet, amen, old man that loved a little old six-year-old boy. Amen, old boy that he'd take rabbit hunting. Amen. And when I waded down through them snowdrifts and him tracking those rabbits, I realized, you know, he's putting me in the brush pile like an old hound dog, and I was helping him rabbit hunt. Amen. But I'd get so cold, and he'd hook me up on his back and run his little old grandson back to the house, inside of the house, and put him down. Amen. And I loved him. Amen. And he loved to feed me pork chop and watermelon, and he got me used to things like that. Amen. But when I was about 7 years old, amen, I was over in West Virginia, over there at Yeager, up Lick Branch. You know where that's at, brother? Famous place. Old house is gone. I went back a few years ago when my Uncle James died. He lived over at Pineville. And I went up there and I said, I'm going to go up Lick Branch and see if the old home place still there wasn't there. This is not even hardly a wide spot in the road. Amen. And I'm going to preach to you a little bit about faith. Amen. In the famine. Amen. I remember as a little boy, amen, going up there and in my West Virginia up on the side of the hill where my uncle lived. And I remember my daddy. I was just 7 years old. I remember my daddy coming down to the foot of the hill and motioning for us kids to come on. I knew something wasn't right. Amen. As we walked up that old cold dirt, dusty old road. Amen. That dust dark. My dad looked over at me and said, "Children, me and my brother and sister," he said, "I got some bad news. Your grandpa's died and he's gone on." And brother, I thought, "You mean my grandpa? I never had nobody die. I didn't realize about the grave and the funeral home and the casket." Amen. And I thought, "Oh, I remember as a little boy." Amen. I thought, "This ain't good." Amen. "Never see grandpa." Amen. "No more pork chop dinners. No more rabbit hunting." And just as a little 7 year old boy, I realized that life, amen, isn't always fair. Amen. Y'all going to help me preach a little? Amen. And brother, amen, that's maybe what many people this night are thinking. I'm in this old world. Amen. The famine is on. Amen. Come on now. Amen. And life takes a turn. And you think it ought not turn like this. Amen. That's what happened, amen, to Elijah. He got down by the brook Cherith. And you know what the Bible said? It came to pass that after a while, in the process of time, amen, the brook dried up. Amen. Come on now. That's what happens in our lives sometime. Amen. The place that we're nourishing and being satisfied, it dries up. And we realize, are we going to die? Amen. I prophesied that this famine was coming. And here it is. And my brook is dried up. Amen. But I want you to notice, Lord, help me preach this message tonight. I want you to notice here now what happened. God said the word of the Lord came unto him saying, now it's God's plan to keep you alive in this famine. He said, I want you to go down to Zarephath. And there's a widow there. And notice what he said. I have commanded. I like that. I have commanded a widow to what? What's the word? Sustain thee there. What was the word I read over in Psalm 37? What? He shall be satisfied. Amen. In the famine. Brother, I'm pastoring a little church there in the mountains. And I declare, I am not going to just get up in that pulpit and nurse a little deal along and forget about ever having a move of God. Forget about ever seeing anybody saved. Forget about ever having to move the Holy Ghost. And just sit there and complain about global warming and complain about, the same-sex marriage. That's enough to complain about. And complain about the Democrats or the Republicans, ever which side you complain about. Amen. Whatever it is. Amen. I refuse, amen, just to sit there in that little church and just say we're in a famine. It's not going to be any different. Don't you realize there's no rain? Oh, but listen to me a little bit here tonight. Amen. God has promised, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to keep you alive. I'm going to sustain you. Where? In the famine, praise God. Woo! Come on now. Somebody say amen in this house. I'm going to take you a little while here, but I feel like I need to preach this whole deal out here. I want y'all to help me. Amen. He said, I command. Now this woman here in Zarephath, now you may not see the correlation at all, but I felt like I saw it. But this woman at Zarephath reminds me of the church in a way. You say, well, how's that? Well, I'm going to show you if I can. But I want you to notice, God said, I am going to command this woman to sustain you. In a famine like we're at, I want to know where in the world is people going to get anything to eat in the famine that we're in. Talking about this wicked generation that we live in. Where can anybody go and be sustained in this world? Hallelujah. Oh, come on now. Amen. Where in the world? Amen. He said, I want to send you out to Zarephath. There's a widow woman there. Amen. That I have commanded. I don't know exactly when this command took place. But when he walks into this town, what, lo and behold, I got to thinking about this, Brother Savage. And, you know, when the servant of Abraham went to find a wife for Isaac, he came into this place and he put out a little fleece and he said, "Lord, let this woman be at the well and let her offer to give me drink and then water my camels, and that'll be the woman. How in the world else am I going to know?" And I know that was a type of the bride of Christ. Amen. But this, look at this woman. Amen. To me, amen, this, I can see resemblance of the church in this woman in the day of the famine that we live. Sometimes, Brother Prescott, amen, the church in a famine may look a little different, amen, than it did when the rain was falling. But I want you to know something right now. There's still a sustenance there. There's still satisfying there. Hallelujah. Brother, I've been to churches from here to yon. Amen. And they're all a little different. I love this right here because I love these people. They prayed me out of trouble. Hallelujah. And been good to me. And I love their family. Amen. I'll tell you what. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. There is sustaining grace right here in this house of God. I love to go to Massanova. I love to preach there. I love to shout there. Amen. I can leave there saying we're in a famine, but there's still a church in the famine. Hallelujah. There's still faith in the famine. Praise God. Oh, I don't feel like I'm getting it to you yet. I really need to. I'm running faster than I can. Hallelujah. But I want you to see this. Notice the church when he approaches. There she is. Now, I don't know if she's got her command yet or not, because look what she's doing. She's got a couple of sticks in her arms. She's industrious. But I want you to look at her attitude as he approaches her. He says to her, I love this. Oh, I wish I could preach. I don't know how far, really. I didn't take time to look at the geography of it. I don't know how far it was from Cherith to Zarephath. But Zarephath was not really in Israel's inheritance on the border. It was of the town of Jezebel, if you want to really look it up. Amen. Of his arch enemy, Elijah's arch enemy. He went over there to this Gentile woman. Amen. Come on now. I wonder if you realize that the Lord has commanded us to feed the hungry, to nourish those that are downcast. We prophesied for years that this was coming, and here it is. Lo and behold, it's right here. Amen. You that vote, you ought to vote. Amen. And throw your vote out there. I don't know where it's going to go this time. All kinds of folks, and you can look it over. And I hope you don't think I'm being too political. But I want to tell you, amen, the choice is mighty slim. Are y'all going to help me preach a little? But I'm not here to preach about the famine. Amen. Without telling you there's faith. Amen. In the famine. Praise God. And there's faith in the famine that's going to keep us alive and sustain us and nourish us and satisfy us. Hallelujah. I got to preach on here. I think I'll shout a little bit first. Amen. Just to see how it feels. Amen. But I'll tell you, amen, this little woman had been commanded. I don't know how long it was, 20 some years ago. God commanded this preacher. Amen. I'm going to send you. Amen. Up here. Amen. There'll be times you'll feel like you don't even have enough for your own self. But God has commanded us to feed this lost and dying world. You don't believe this. Pardon me. Yeah, you do. If I was home, I'd say you don't believe this. Somebody told me the other night, too. I just hate it when you say that. There's one sister I got a habit of saying, I wish I was a preacher. And she says, well, what in the world are you? Dog catcher? She just makes her eel when I say that. It's just a habit. But there's times when I get to preaching like this, I wish I really was a preacher. Amen. I want to tell you, we talk about the good old days. I know we're in a famine. Amen. But look, here's this little woman. She's got a couple of sticks in her arm. And listen to what she said. Listen to this. Here's the church in this modern day. Here it is right here in the midst of the famine. Here's her attitude. I want you to look at it. He says to her, ma'am, bring me a little drink in a vessel. When was the last time you heard that call? Drag in here, slide in the parking lot broadside just to get here 10 minutes late. Sit down in the pew, fold your arm over the corner like you just got in your lazy boy.
amen, prop the old seat up and said, okay, preacher, bless me if you can. He can't. I got these glasses. I can take them off. I can't tell what they're thinking. Put them back on. Huh? I'm going to tell you something. Praise God, this little woman, she had it all figured out. She knew exactly what was going to happen at church. She knew it. You see this? I didn't get this out of Matthew Henry. I probably wish I had it before it's over. But she knew exactly. He said, but I want you to notice what she did. Here's what I'd like to see this week. Notice this, Sister Savage. He said, get me a drink in the midst of a famine. He just had left a dried up brook. This woman, you know what she did? She headed down the path toward the water. She knew where it was. Come on now, you say, I don't get what you're talking about. I said, it's a famine. Hey man, there's no water where he came from. Evidently, this woman knew where there was a spring or a well that still had some water in it. No argument with her. And I want you to look at the condition of her life. Hey man, come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I want you to look at the condition. She never answered a word. She never said anything. Hey man, until, listen to me now, she knew where the water was. I wish I could get anointed here tonight and at least, hey man, get you hungry. To run back down that path, amen, where the well is, and draw a little water, amen, for this lost world. Hallelujah. Woo! Boy, can I stay here and preach this a little bit? I feel like preaching. Praise God. We was raised up in those mountains. The hills are steep, the hollers are deep, and there was something that was very critical. Any of y'all ever been in the mountains? You, ma'am? I'm just kidding. She's raised in mountains too. She's old hillbilly. Huh? You know, there was something very important to us down there in those mountains. And that was those paths in those hills, because somebody had broke that path and you knew it was headed somewhere. And you didn't have to break your own path, because the brush and the rocks and the cliffs, if you could find a path, it was the quickest way, amen, usually to a spring. I went up to the old home place four or five years ago. The Lord dealt with me to go up there. He was going to speak to me. And I really needed Him to speak to me. I went up there in a pouring rain, walked all over that old farm. And I mean, I hit them old paths. They almost was worn out. The brush had grown over top of them. But you know, I knew where they were. It took me just a minute, brother, peace, to I found them old paths. I knew where they went. They went down into that hill, that holler, amen, where them old springs were. And one of them had an old refrigerator in it we turned up, and I just cleaned out a few leaves. And there in the head of that was that cool water like no other. Brother, you can't buy it in the store in them old bottles. That was as good as that right there. I know we're in a famine. Amen, listen to me now. Amen. And I don't mean to bring up nothing, but brother, when I prayed for you down there in Alabama, my heart was broke, amen, for the tragedy. But I had this consolation. Not only did your mom and dad know, amen, where the water was, but they had a boy that knew and a wife that knew. Amen. Come on now. And I knew it's going to be all right. He was going to hurt and he was going to suffer. But in a famine, when somebody said, I need water, I know where it's at. I'll go get the water. Somebody say amen. I wonder if we've got a church that still knows where the well's at. Don't let me scare you now, but I feel like preaching a little bit here tonight. Amen. Come on now. I know we've got moms and dads. Amen. Boys and girls. Amen. Troubles of life. You went down to Cherith, and Cherith dried up. Can't call dad. Can't call mom. And I don't mean to be sad. Amen. But listen, when one brook dries up, God will send you to another well in the most unlikely place. I know there's a famine, but there is faith in a famine. Hallelujah. Woo. And when she started toward that well, he had another question for her. Another command. Another need. Amen. Come on, church. And he said, bring me a little cake. And that stopped her in her tracks. Huh? And I want you to notice what she said. She said, I have only enough said, I got a little meal in the barrel. And one translation said a jar. I don't know what to eat, but a container of meal. I just got a little meal and a little oil. That told me right there that she'd been taking inventory. Huh? She'd measured it out. Brother, she'd spent her days, her last several days, she had put out measuring how much it took for one service. We got three more services, a meal left, and if something don't happen, we're going to bake one more cake, sing one more song, have one more testimony, and die. Amen. I think we've already got that point. That's the attitude of the modern day church world. But don't give up on them now. I said, don't give up on them. And she said, she even knew, she'd even inventoried Brother Roger enough to know how many sticks it took to cut and build the fire. Two sticks. Brother, that's like our meeting sometime, brother. Two songs and prayer requests and turn the preacher loose. Wonder our young folks are peeping out of the blinds, see if anything's going on outside. Ain't much going on in here. You don't like this, but I'll tell you, you can put up with anything for 4 days. What's going on out there? Nothing going on in here. Can you imagine them kids sitting on that trip around that mountain for 38 years? They marched. If they're like my kids, you remember that? Children of Israel went around that same mountain for 38 years. They come past that one mountain. If it had been like my kids, they'd have said, are we about there yet? Haven't we seen this same rock 38 times before? Huh? I wonder if a church. Whoa, y'all feel this yet? I wonder. I wish somebody, brother, would start getting tired of the same old rut. And say, look, something's got to change. Because we just got a little more left. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And notice her attitude. And this is the attitude of the modern church. She said, I've got just enough for me and my. Me and my. Woo! Peace, preacher. Me and my. That's what happens in a famine. We get a little bit possessive of what the few things we have. And rather we'll just turn our collar up and we'll get us a little doctrine that is so narrow and so straight and so cutting that nobody else can live it, not how even yourself. And you'll say, well, everybody will fellowship us because we're so holy. Y'all ain't helping me, are you? Huh? Y'all ain't helping me. And we just not, no. We just narrow it down. And I've heard folks invent some stuff that is to fire out. And I really believe they do it just to exclude themselves from everybody else. But really what's happened is we're in a famine. Hey, come on now. I know the majority of this world don't like holiness, but we can't let that be the excuse every time that we don't have anybody in church. Because, brother, I believe God is going to send a revival, amen, to holiness people. Are you listening to me? Woo! I wish I could preach to you. Amen. The world is saying, make me a little cake. Amen. They're saying like that Korean boy, amen, that lost his marbles and got possessed of the devil and killed all them kids in that college. Really what it's saying. Amen. Somebody give me some bread. Somebody give me a drink. Y'all ain't helping me preach tonight. But this lost and dying world. And God has commanded somewhere. God commanded that woman. Feed this man. Hallelujah. Somebody's helping this preacher tonight. Where are we at, church? Where are we at? Notice, she was good at inventory. Now, I know I'm preaching all right. I hope you understand all right. Let's take inventory. What have we got? How much have we got left? Should we be taking a measurement on how much we got left? Is that what the last days of our existence, Brother Pete, I don't know, you're not much older than me. You've seen the days gone by and the revivals, Brother Savage. You were there. Amen. Listen, but do we have to just settle, amen, on going to one more handful of meal in the barrel, amen, and eat that and die with our memories? I don't think so. I think God has commanded this end time church, amen, to not only have enough for you and your four and no more, but if we'll have faith and believe God and trust God, amen, we can feed somebody besides ourselves. Hallelujah. She was good at inventory, but listen to me now, holiness people. I'm preaching to you. I believe it and I love it. But I want you to know, we need more than inventory. We need inspiration. Are you listening to me? We need inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It'll give us a burden to help us realize we don't have all that we could have. Hallelujah. This woman was good at rationing. Is that where we're at? Just enough, we just ration. This for you. We do. This for you. We just got enough for you, and it's over with. Lord, have mercy. Help me preach to you. All these folks need this message, the worst ever was in the world. Huh? We don't need a rationing. We need a revival. Huh? And I want you to notice what this man of God said. And listen to me. I'm almost done. 10 more minutes and we'll start shutting her down. But I want you to notice what he said. He said to him, me and mine. Now listen, I'm getting ready to rock your boat right here. That is the attitude of our modern church world. Our little cliques. Huh? Our little, and I know you don't like this, but God bless you. I'm telling you the truth. And if you want to really discuss it, we will after church outside over a hamburger. You buy. How's that? Huh? Yeah. But I'm gonna tell you, if all we're in, and I know that the holiness, the church of the living God, is an exclusive group. You can't have sin and be in. But it's not only an exclusive group. It is an all-inclusive group. You say, what in the world? Whosoever will. In the garden of in the Song of Solomon, the Bible said, he said she's like a garden. And it said the wind blows, the Holy Ghost blows, and the scent and the smell and the perfume and the aroma of that garden, amen, flows over the wall and through the gate and out in the world, amen, to where people say, my, what is that aroma? What is that perfume? I'm preaching to you, holiness is not a cut and dried, sealed off wall, but brother, it is a garden, amen, that when the Holy Ghost blows, amen, this little woman's life consisted of inventory and rationing. But that's not God's church. God's church is a never-ending, amen, meal barrel that sustains those that are hungry. Hallelujah. Now here's one that's going to shake you now. So if I preach a little bit here. When she said, you! Me and mine, he said. I mean, knows what he said to her. Now, brother, this would not fly in this ERA, Women's Lib, church boss generation. Now, if you're a church boss, I'm getting ready to smoke you right here. So hang on tight. Praise God. Woo! He said to her, when she said what little she had, he said, now get this, y'all ain't listening. Make me, the man of God said, make me a cake first. Nope. Mm-mm. Negative. Ain't going to happen. Old fat preacher. Got all he needs. Church. Always begging for money. Go ahead. Y'all can get quiet right here. I'll out. I had a woman come to church. And, you know, in Sunday morning, I got to watch it, buddy. People are funny in them mountains. I mean, when you get on their kids or their money, you get ready to get in trouble. And usually it's their money above their kids. But I had a woman come, and you know, on Sunday morning, I take up the missions offering every Sunday. And I advise our people, as they get changed through the week, not just give their nickels, but I say, if you'll make it a principle, I just felt like telling you, make it a principle every time you purchase anything through the week, don't make change. Just let them give you change back and take that home and put it in the mission. You'd be surprised how much money I accumulate, especially around Christmas and when folks are really spending. You know, they buy something for $2.06 and they just say, you know, get to 94 cents, put it in the mission. You'd be surprised. So we do that every Sunday, and we used to have a building fund offering. And I, one Sunday, and I'd take up a building fund offering. And then one Sunday, we'd take up the school offering to finance the school. And every Sunday, we'd take up the tithes and offerings. And you say, well, boy, there's an offering here and offering there. Now, I feel like I'm getting ready to get on this horse, and I think it's going to be a real winner here. I can just feel it coming. Woo! He's building up steam here. And that woman came, and I knew her real well. And she said to another woman, next time, I'm going to leave my pocketbook in the car. Sanctified spirit. Why, every one of them was free will. Nobody had to give them nothing. Praise God. I wasn't selling no miracle billfolds like Brother Roosevelt Franklin. Huh? Send me a bunch of... I tell them old TV preachers, get on there and talk, you know, and hoot and holler and beg and plead and all that. I ain't for that. Praise God. Uh-uh. That's just a shyster. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to giving, you say, you done got off board. Oh, no. I'm going to tell you. And it ain't all about money either. But it is a big part of money. I doubt if a stingy person is going to get within 100 miles of a gate. Huh? I don't know. That's right. Come on now. Woo, y'all ain't helping the preacher now. It's ain't for me now. My offering's already took. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. He said, give the man of God the first. Hey, the attitude toward the ministry, it's a pitiful and it's our. Amen. It's no wonder we're in a famine. Are you listening to me? But if we're going to get out of this, we're going to have to change our attitude about God's work. Amen. Come on now. Somebody say amen. Amen. And notice this. The other day, I just, you know, I preach for a living. I was a carpenter in my first life. And, you know, try to make a living. And I've had to build a few things since when they, you know, when you hit the thing, folks want to think they can just starve you out. Now, you can't do that. Huh? But, you know, they tried. I went out and built a few things. I didn't want to, but I had to pay my bills. And I just lived by faith. That's the way preachers live. And so, you know, living off of tithing. And, you know, a lot of people don't think that they think the preacher ought to just, now I'm meddling here in case y'all wondering. But they just think a preacher, they ought to figure out and pay him kind of like a plumber, you know, or something, you know, just sit around figuring out how much does this man need here? How much? You know, I think he could probably, you don't have a clue what he needs. God knows, and he had a plan. I said, God had a plan. He said, the tithe shall be to take care of the men of God. Listen to it. Read the whole Bible now. Now, if I told you everything I'd read about that, it'd blow your mind. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Amen. But God said the first. Amen. The gleanings. Y'all going to help me preach, aren't you? Amen. I want to give you that first increase. Goes to keep the men of God. Amen. Out of the field. Help me now. Amen. And out there preaching the gospel. And the New Testament carried right on. But that ain't all the to it. I want you to notice what he said. He said, make me a cake first. Amen. Put your priorities in line. Oh, somebody help me preach a little bit. Amen. And then we'll see what happens. Amen. Until we do that, we're not going to have the revival we need in the midst of the famine. We must give God the very first of our lives. Hallelujah. The other night I went to bed, I had a big old bill due. And we're getting ready to... I'm doing all right, brother. I hate to put you on the spot like that, but... I asked Brother Ben Charlotte one time, I was preaching for him, and he just stopped. He wouldn't answer me. Finally, I just kept looking at him, and he said, well, you're headed in the right direction. So, I'm glad you gave me an affirmative there, hallelujah. I had a big old bill due. We're getting ready to... Down at the church, we had a fire marshal come to. We got a school down there, 95 kids in the school. Fire marshal decided to visit us after all these years. And it's going to cost us a bundle. So I prayed about, Lord, I tell you, I don't like to borrow money. I really don't. And we didn't have it. I mean, I'm looking at $75,000. And so I got up and I said, prayed about it. And I said, well, I just told him, I said, this Sunday coming up, I said, here's what it is. The fire marshal come, here's what it's going to cost. I ordered a staple just like y'all's. I just figured out it's the same staple, except a little more expensive. This guy, he talked bird out of a tree, evidently. He talked him down $2,000. I should have got him by mine. But anyway, I got up and told him, I said, we're going to take an offering up Sunday. And I need $50,000. You hear how quiet it is? It was quieter than that. And I said, well, that's just $1,000 a family. I mean, we had 154 in church Sunday. Now, if I had to come up with it all, then we'll just have to hula hula. Yeah. Amen. I mean, that truck's not. And so, y'all pray about that, will you? Sunday, I got to get $50,000 out of 150 people that don't really want to give it. It's going to be like a root canal without any Novocaine. You're like pulling teeth, you know what I mean? But we got to have it. I got to pray about it, and I had a big old bill come due. And I said, I got up the next morning. You ever do this, Brother Savage? I got up and I said, Lord, give me a verse. I prayed nearly all night through about it. And I said, give me a verse that'll show me that you're going to help me here. And I got this book down, and I said, and I just opened it up from the back. I know this is, you may not, the first verse, it wasn't in the Bible, it was in a book I was reading. And the first verse I laid my eyes on when I opened that book from the back forward, I opened it up to the back page, and it said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And boy, I knew I was on the right track then. Huh? You say you're going to get it? Why? What do you think? You're looking just like they look. You think we're going to do it? Hey, sure we're going to do it. Sure we're going to do it. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God. We need a revival. We're in a famine. I'm preaching on faith in the famine. Hey, you ought to try. You ought to try giving your very best. Don't give him the last. Praise God. Run around, work yourself to the bone, wear yourself out. Oh, Lord, it's almost time for church. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Come on, kids. Get in that car, bro. Beat your brains out. And you come to church with that kind of spirit on you. Huh? And your little kid's looking over at you. Daddy, what's brains look like? Huh? Listen, there ought to be some faith in this famine. Because God said, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you a drink. I'm going to take care of you. He said, I have commanded a widow. Now, what about God telling this widow, I command you to feed that man of God. Huh? Oh, I wish they would here. Brother, sit real quiet over here. I don't mean to cause you no trouble, but I would everybody in the house of God here, that God would command you to feed the man of God. You say, mind your own business. I am. This is my business. Praise God. I'm going to preach to you. Not just the giving of the money. Giving of yourself. How about your time? Do we even give God a tenth of our time? Do we? How about us, ourselves, our affections? How about it? How about our faithfulness to to God's house and God's word. Why is our young people looking out there and wanting to look like the world and not wanting to give nothing to God? Where's their example? God is commanding the church in this hour. You can survive the famine, but you're going to have to be what I want you to be. Hallelujah. Ooh. Help me now. Help me now. I'm almost done. I want you to notice what happened. She went to that barrel, and I'm done. She went to that barrel. She made that man of God. I dare you to try it. But we've gotten such an attitude. People do not respect the preacher. They do not respect the pastor. There are millions of dollars worth of property across America that are not really having church because they will not support a pastor. And when they get one, they want to use him like a puppet on a string. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That is against my convictions to be a puppet. And it's like Brother Gabbard said, anything with two heads is a monster. You cannot run a church by a committee. Huh? You can't do it. You cannot micromanage a church. He called pastors to lead, and it's a relationship of a shepherd to sheep. Now, when was the last time you saw a bunch of sheep rise up, amen, and tell the pastor what to do? I love y'all so much. I do. I don't know if y'all love me as much, but I love y'all. I'm telling you the truth, flat-footed, eye to eye. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Amen. Until we find our position of authority and our chain of command, amen, and we understand where we're supposed to be and what God has commanded us. Oh, but no, our attitude is, I have but this much. I can only last this long, and we're going to eat this, and then we're going to die. I want to ask you before I close, what's your attitude about this church right now? What do you think? If I take this mic right now and interview all your members, amen, and say, what do you think the end of this church is going to be? What do you think the end of this is going to be? Well, I'll tell you one thing right now. If Brother Bill, if he don't straighten up a little bit, this thing's going down the drain. Huh? Sit real still, brother. This will be over before you know it. If I'd interview, what kind of, when y'all come into the church house, do people see y'all filing in like death row? Sing our songs. Get up here and sing. Praise God. Worship the Lord. And I love brother singing. He's a great song leader. Praise God. Get up here and sing. How do we set? Yeah, it'll be over in a minute. He's going to sing two songs. That's 2.5 minutes. That's 5 minutes. This preacher, you know, I was kidding Brother Savage. I heard he preached a message, and now he's good at this. He preached a message I heard in Allentown, and so I kid him a little bit. I called him. I said, you know, I heard you preach that message. I said, that's one of my favorite messages you ever preached. That's a short one. Ain't that the way a lot of people think the best sermon is the short one? Huh? Praise God, we can get out of here, not like this one. But like we can get out of here and go somewhere we enjoy a little better. Oh, y'all ain't loving me. But I'm telling you about revival. We're in a famine. We are in a crisis. We are in a crisis in America. But listen, the crisis is not without hope. There is a way to survive. It may not be the conventional way. It may not be the orthodox way. It may not be by Brooke Cherith all the time. But brother, God's going to command, amen, and he's commanding the church to be, amen, the victory and to be the life and be the sustaining force for whoever is hungry and thirsty in this world. Amen. There's faith in the famine. I believe in this with all of my heart. Every ounce of the skin I've got on me, I believe it just like this. And I believe there's revival in this hour. I want you to bow your heads with me just a minute. Oh, Lordy. Oh, Lordy. I'd like to see revival break out right now, here in this great church. Amen. I didn't come to jump on you. I didn't. I come to just provoke you to good works. Amen. We're in a famine. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'll tell you what, we're going to listen to the voice of God. We're going to follow His command. And God's going to sustain us. God's going to keep us alive right in
this famine. The Bible said there'd come a famine, not of bread, but of hearing the Word of God. I want to challenge you tonight. Amen. When you hear the voice of God saying, I command you. Amen. I'm almost done. Listen, I know the preacher's going to pray. I know he's going to fast. I know his wife is. I know they are. But what about you? Do you feel the command? Do you feel the command? Do you know where the well is? Are you willing to give even and to get out of this me and mine and put God first and let God send revival to this wonderful church right here in Martinsville where they need it so bad? Let's stand. Brother Prescott.